Oh, so much craziness going on in the world. We're going to tell you all about some disclosure information with one of our favorite people who is always popping up on all the UFO shows, Nick Pope. We've got an interview with him. We had him on the show this week, and we're putting that up on the podcast after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
That's the way I feel.
Big D and Bubba Podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
We're doing this episode a day early because we got a lot of stuff going on with CMA Fest, and we'll talk about all that.
I like this week.
If you love music, you need to download the Pickle Jar app. You could show some love, some gratitude to your favorite artists. You know, like if you go to a restaurant or a bar and somebody's playing, you can actually support them that way, give them a tip. Also, you can support causes around town. It's a fantastic app to use if you're trying to raise money. Maybe you got a Boy Scout troop, or maybe you got a firehouse. It's a volunteer thing, and you got to raise money. There's all kinds of uses for it. If you're a Droid user or an iPhone user, just download it. You get it anywhere you get your apps, or, of course, you can go and download it at picklejar.com.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Yeah! You didn't even know what's going on. We had this lady call today on the show, and like something happened after she said bye. You hear the and a Big D out of nowhere just backed out.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
It's like she fell.
We both heard her just fall off a cliff.
Hey, is there another? Is it just iPhone and Android? No, that'll make another.
Yeah. I mean, there's other. Phone OSs out there.
I never hear about them.
Well, you've got like Linux. There's Linux-based phones. There's a couple other ones out there. Yeah, I don't know the specifics because I'm not in the market for a phone right now. So
yeah, I'm kind of having a little bit of buyer's remorse on my phone. So I think I should have just got a screen.
You dropped your phone, a week and a half ago or something like that?
Not even a week. I think it was Friday morning.
And ended up having to get – it was just a broken screen. And
I know.
What's the remorse? I mean, did you get your
It's no different than my phone. It's no different. It's the camera's better, so it is different.
That's all that actually matters to me in a phone, though.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh,
well, it is your camera.
I am that person that goes, like, is the camera good, though? Everything else I'll figure out. I'll work around anything else, but if I can get that great shot, if it's going to look fire on Instagram when I'm posting videos or something, all in. All I want is the camera.
Yeah,
that is important. I mean, I go back and I look at, you know, because we were early adopters. We were using smartphones before they were even called smartphones. They were PDAs, and
they're called gifted.
Thank you. But yeah, so we were using them, and the cameras were terrible. Yeah. I go back and I look at those shots. Like I saw somewhere I had it posted. It was like on my personal, one of my Facebooks or something like that. It was like me taking a picture of me, like because the word selfie didn't exist at
Wasn't
that
there
time.
Yet, right?
And here, you know, there's, and I think Big D took the picture of me taking a picture of me. He's like, look at this goober over there taking a picture of himself.
Yeah.
And then
look
now,
at you, look trendsetter.
I was.
We get it a lot. People say that.
It's true.
A lot. It's true. Also, selfie is a terrible word. It's goofy. It's just dumb.
And then the Ted Lasso ussy thing is even worse.
Yeah.
And you know where I first heard that? Garth was doing that. Like when you guys sent me to go meet him for the first time.
Yeah.
And he was like, let's do an ussy. And I was like, okay. Like, what am I do? Say what? I was just like, okay, anything you'd like, sir. And he just grabbed my phone and took a selfie. But I was like, oh, you call it an ussy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Yeah.
And now he texts you.
I mean, yeah. So that's cool. He does not text me selfies or ussies, but, you know, it's okay.
That's so crazy. Does he ever just text for, like, no reason? Like,
no. Okay.
Do you always have to text first, or does he have to have a reason to text? These are things we have to know.
No, I don't text him frequently in the slightest. So it's usually, hey, it's Monta's birthday, just in case you forgot. Hey, cheers to your new residency. hey, I'm going to be at the show tonight. Like, that's it. So that's just it.
Does he always reply?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good about that. And then I leave him on read because I'm afraid to say something stupid.
Yeah.
So I figure I shot my shot. Here's your single text that you're getting for me, sir. Also, yeah. Did you hear the big news?
Well, first of all, before you go on, that's probably why he still texts you, because you don't overstay your welcome.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm afraid of anybody, right? I don't care if they're famous or not, that I'm like, oh, sorry, I hung around too long, and I, like, start backing out of a room.
I'm the guy. I'll send 15 messages. and I know that's like a big faux pas. You're not supposed to send a message, and then if it doesn't get a reply, you're not supposed to send another one. Oh, man, Big D knows. I'll send a stack of messages.
And you know what's great about you? Because you don't care. Because you said, like, I don't care if social decorum is like, oh, don't reply. You're like, no, I've got something to say. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Good for you.
What's the big news?
What's the big news?
Garth Brooks is putting out more Chris Gaines music.
Is he really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, let's go.
Did I send you the picture of the CD I found the other day?
No.
Oh, I was going through a closet at my house, and sure enough, I was... boom, there it is. It's a Chris Gaines album, a CD.
The Chris Gaines CD.
Because you can't buy those anywhere.
Mm-hmm. No, unless you go to a used record shop, but yeah. So for the man that wasn't sure he was going to revisit that, it sounds like he said somebody's got like 5 CDs worth of material, or he's going to do 5. I don't know, but all I know is we're getting Chris Gaines. We are getting emo Garth back, and I'm in.
I was a big fan. And you know what? The emo thing was just the look. The actual sound was nowhere near
the look was emo before emo was even a look.
Yeah.
You know, he was like 10 years early on that hair. But of course, Garth was the trendsetter. Of course he was. the music was good. It was kind of folky, soulful.
Yeah.
Do you know when it's going to be out?
Mm-mm. He just teased it the other day, because of course.
I thought he didn't like it.
I don't know how much of a backlash, but I don't think he liked the jokes that came with it. And I think that it kind of fell weird. And there were talks about, has your ego gotten so out of control that you think you can do that? I just don't think he liked a lot of the conversation that was happening around it. Mm. At least that's my perception. Not speaking for the man, because we haven't texted about it.
Yeah, that's really kind of weird, because the music was good. I think that's a universal thing. I think all of us agree that there was one song I didn't like on there, and that was that one that sounded like Walk the Dinosaur to me. And I'm like, oh, why is this on here? But like, otherwise, the album was just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think all of us, I know Big D was listening to that a lot when it was out.
Yeah.
Everybody had it on repeat.
I was mesmerized when he was on Saturday Night Live and Garth was the host, but Chris Gaines was the guest. And somehow they had Garth on the main stage saying, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Gaines. And the shot it's a continuous shot that goes over to Chris Garth. But Garth has just told us that Chris Garth is over here. So, yeah, it was like, that's how I differentiate the two.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I you want to know, this is where my life is awful.
Is that on YouTube somewhere?
It should be on the SNL archives, yeah.
Huh.
So you guys rectified everything that was wrong in my world, so you need to know that. Huh. But because when I started working at NBC was 2 weeks after Garth Brooks did that.
No.
I missed him. And everybody was telling me, because of course I am that, like, they're like, you know, hey, welcome to NBC. Tell us something about you. I love Garth Brooks. Like, I'm that girl. And every single person had a Garth Brooks story. Everybody in that building, not just people I worked with, because he just would roam the halls. He'd pop in people's offices to say hello. He would join tours because, like, it's 11 in the morning and he's bored. So he would just come up and, like, join these tourists who are, you know, paying for the NBC experience. And he was like, hey, I'm Garth Brooks. Like, we know. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, he was so great. And I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to meet this man. And then you guys made it happen.
Well, good. See how great we are?
I know. I'm very aware.
I can't believe he would join tours. Mm-hmm. Like, would he go on them and act
he
like
he was?
He does
that at the Grand Ole Opry, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you take the backstage Opry tour and Garth's playing that night, he might show up on your tour.
Does he just hang out and talk to people, or does he act like he's a tourist with them?
What I know, the pages on the tour guides, what he would do is the pages would be giving the tour, and he would just be like, man, isn't she doing a great job? Like, Garth is your hype man.
That's so Garth.
I know, it's so, that's how I knew the stories were true, because I'm like, man, that is so Garth.
Uh-huh. I want to get, I'm sorry. I'm kind of jumping around here. Well, I thought about Trisha, and then she has a cookbook that's out. And then I want to get Miranda's cookbook. That's where I went to. I'm supposed to get it. And our bud Krista was going to get me one, and I never got it. But I want to get it.
Oh, I had to give two away. I wish I'd known. I would have.
You had a Miranda's?
Yeah, I had giveaways, and I would have held one back.
I didn't know that.
It's a big book too. It's heavy. And there's a lot in there.
Yeah.
Like, there's some seriously good food in there, too, just based on what I was looking at for recipes.
I don't really... Do you guys follow a lot of recipes?
No.
I know you.
You know, I don't. I can't. I am totally incapable of
I
doing
do
it,
when
I
it,
tried.
When it comes to baking, I do, because baking is so chemical that you have to have the numbers right. You have to have the measurements so precise in order for things to work. But if it comes to cooking and if I... see something that looks like, oh, okay. Oh, throw a tablespoon of oil. Yeah, okay. I'm just going to dump it till it looks good. You know, I'm not worried about measuring that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I told you my mom has, before she passed away, she hand wrote all of our family recipes into a book and gave it to me, a cookbook, a recipe book. And it's okay. Do you guys say cookbook or recipe? Who says recipe book?
It's cookbook. Right?
So I'll follow that like really closely, but there's only a few things that I realized that we ate some really gross stuff back then, or like it would be like a lot of mold, like put this stuff in a mold.
Yes.
You know, like Jell-O mold.
Yes.
There's like just, ugh, it's not great. Not
it's like
stuff.
That TikTok guy turns you on to be Dylan Ellis or something like that.
Yeah.
He's a little dude from Bermuda that makes stuff from like World War One.
Yeah.
And it's when you start looking at the point is these are in recipe books that somebody printed these and thought they would be universally accepted. And when you start looking at the ingredients and you're like, okay, it says cake, but there's no sugar in it.
Right.
Wartime rations. Are we lucky.
Yeah, not overweight. Okay.
Oh, right.
Yes, got it. Yeah.
Substitute sugar for hardtack.
There's a YouTube that I watch occasionally. He makes like stuff way back, like in the whatever England, you know, like that kind of stuff. And it's the same way. It's gross, you know. And then they use some of the stuff it's hard to find some of the ingredients.
Well, like, plus they might have called things different things back then too.
True.
We're having porridge the way that King James would have it.
Is broth soup? I think so. Isn't it right?
Yeah.
Why do we call it soup? Why do we call broth broth? Why is it separate?
Isn't a broth whenever you cook some like the bones down and all that, and then it becomes broth?
Well, because you can get chicken soup, but there's also chicken broth. So maybe you needed a differentiator?
It's like cobbler and pie.
Oh, yeah.
What's the difference in cobbler and pie? Is there?
The bottom? Well,
cobbler has pieces of the...
fruit.
No. The crust is mixed into the middle and everything. That's the how I tell the difference.
It is? I thought it was just over across the top.
No, it's all up mixed in.
That's what I thought the difference was. Cobbler just got the crust on the top, and a pie is bottom and top.
Okay. So if you want to know the difference between broth and stuff, it basically...
There's not.
Broth and bouillon are synonymous, so that's the same thing. Broth is served as a dish by itself. If it is served as a dish by itself, then it's soup. However, if it's a base to something, it becomes a broth. So vegetable soup, if you serve it by itself, is a broth. If you don't have anything in it. I don't know. It's like weird. Mm-hmm. That's the dumbest thing I've ever read.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Okay, you are right that a cobbler is supposed to be the dough and the fruit filling cooked together in a cobbler.
It is good. It's delicious.
Cobbler is the best, and I don't know why it's better than a regular pie. It's way better.
Peach cobbler. A warm peach cobbler with vanilla ice cream on top.
Yeah, if you have cobbler, you have to have ice cream.
Yeah, it's like
that's a non-negotiable
for sure. It is a CMA Fest week, and we have been in the middle of all of it. We had Miss Tennessee on this morning, out on Broadway, talking to people. and we get to see some of the Garrett was putting some of the video together. It's pretty funny. It's pretty good stuff. We're doing it again tomorrow. And then you and Bob and I are hosting the Riverfront stage mm-hmm. tomorrow.
Which would be cool. So if you're going to be in Nashville, you're going to be doing, going out to try to get some of the free music. Because that's what's cool about the Riverfront is you just show up. And they've got like four or five other stages that you can do that. Make sure you get our attention. Yell and whatnot. And we'll run to the side of the stage, hopefully, and be able to get a moment to meet you.
It's so fun.
Yeah, Lainey kicked it all off this morning, Riverfront stage, and it was awesome. I don't know if I've ever seen this. It gets to a point where they can't handle any more people, and they are closing the gate.
Is there a gate?
There's now.
I didn't even know
there's
that.
A gate.
There was a gate. I remember the gate. It was over. Really? So they had like the little area where you get your waters and stuff like that up on top of the hill, I guess you would say, at the levee. And then, there was gates to get down into that.
Wow. And they had to shut it?
Yeah, they shut it. And then people would leave, and then they would open it and let more people in.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're trying to keep track of it.
Like a nightclub.
As best as they can. I mean, it's not going to be perfect. But if you are going to be out there in whoever you're wanting to see, better get there early. I'm trying to pull up who it is. Yeah, we've got
we have a good lineup.
Dylan Scott, Parmalee, Priscilla Block. I love her. Kylie Morgan, Ashley Cook. So it'll be a lot of fun. And don't worry about us. It's going to be hot out there, and people are going to be sweating, passing out possibly. But don't you dare worry about me and Bubba. We are going to be on a leather couch in a air-conditioned tent. Just to the side of the stage. It's fully catered.
We call it the O Club. It really is. It's like we're officers of country music. Yeah. We go and hang out in near luxury.
Yeah, plenty of food. Yeah, yes, catered, hot and cold food and drinks. So, please don't worry about it. Everything's fine.
We're going to make it. We are going to make it.
Because you know what? We're in it. We know this is a thing. So we're going to try and stay.
It's a marathon, gents.
Well, yeah, we're going to be out there for hours and hours.
I need you to stay hydrated. So, yes. I need you to stay, I need you to have that fuel in you, the calories, adjust them, pace yourself.
Right.
Like if you need me to come by with the gel and,
What's the gel? What's that?
The
do?
Running gel.
What's the have running?
Have you not seen that? Like people who run marathons and stuff, they have a gel that is, I believe it's a lot of carbs. And
And
so it gives them, they can just like squeeze it in their mouths.
Isn't it called goop?
Maybe it's, okay, that sounds right. What? I'm not a runner, D.
I know.
I was just the girl that was in charge of handing it out at mile 16. Yeah. And I was like, they come, and here I am, like, they come in foil packets. And I'm like squeezing them because they feel neat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so cool. And they're like, could you not play with the food? And I'm like, sorry. Okay.
Those things are, it's funny to watch all the. There's probably. I mean, it's big. It's like those ones, like when like the rich guy's daughter gets married, and has the wedding on their property, and they have those white tents that have the windows in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, and then they have these big air conditioning units that like blow Arctic air throughout the entire thing.
It's got a little intake.
You're almost like, oh, it's almost chilly in here.
Yeah, it is. It is because you go out there and you sweat. I know. I was joking earlier. Now I'm not joking.
No. Now the truth comes out. No, but it's crazy because they carpet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally on concrete, but
tables?
They put down carpet and they have tables.
Yeah.
And they have little soft. So all the sofas are always white.
Yes, they are.
You know, they're always leather and white. Mm-hmm. And you go and sit in there and they've got the little footstools that you can put your feet on or you could sit on it.
Uh-huh.
And,
I'm going to need y'all to do a tour.
We'll do that. We'll have to do a video tour. The people will be like, "Oh my god,
show you what it's like.
Look at these necks." They have a guy. They have like an espresso bar. You know, like the one that looks like a steampunk. Looks like an engine.
Yes,
it looks like bronze.
Like a time machine.
It looks like a time machine.
You pull a couple things. Next thing you know, it's 1883.
That accordion fan is pumping up and down.
Yes, that's exactly it. Yeah,
Beaker from the Muppets is around.
Winds from the east. There's a mist blowing in, it's cool, but it's fun to watch like all the pretentious people in there because you have like people who are you know, with their whoever their artist is, they're like with them and they're like with management or their record label, and there's guys wearing sunglasses inside an already darkened tent.
It is. It's the guys who are always with somebody that's with somebody.
Yeah.
It's always that second degree that it's, and they're always the loudest.
They're the worst.
Fake it till you make it, people. Oh.
You're right. You're right.
Fake it till you make it.
And look where they are. They're back there. They're eating the same protein bars that you are.
Yeah. I want to say that, you know, like Bubba's like, yell at us and we'll come out. I won't.
That's off, air conditioning. I'm good.
I'm going to walk off the stage. And I usually every year when we do this, I always have like a spot, I have a certain couch and it's like, it's usually in a corner and I can kind of put my bad knee kind of at an angle and kind of support it. And then like people walk up and they're like, hey, I'm like, hey, what's up? And I have, everything's at arm's reach. Like all the snacks and, you know, I'll usually do like a main food run early on and I'll get like, you know, fruit or something like that. And then I'll just get snacks and I'll just kind of hoard them and keep them in my lap.
Also, I don't know nobody can ask you to move because you've got snacks on your lap.
I can't, man. Look, I got
that's a trick.
Mini
it's a
chips. Trick. I got chips
yeah,
here,
like, oh,
man.
Oh, man, you're going to disturb the whole setup because I can't let the tomatoes touch the chocolate pudding.
And we always mess up. Like, we always screw up. They're always like, okay, guys, we'll see you back here at, you know, 10:35. And we're like, okay, yeah, sure. And at 10:35, I'm eating and Bubba's on his phone. And they're like, big day, Bubba. Where's my host? And we're like, oh, yeah, okay. And it's a big thing. And we get there, we wait for 10 minutes on the side of the stage.
Right, right. Like-
But it's fine. It's fine.
Look, as long as the artists show up, that's what I always tell people. I'm like, did you see who you wanted to on stage? They put a song you wanted. It all works out.
It's fine.
Controlled chaos.
So the interesting thing is there's a couple extra hoops for us to jump through between, you know, doing the show and then getting to the location. Yeah. And I don't know if we're going to be able to make it in time. They are going to be shouting, "Where it's my host" tomorrow.
For the
first act.
Okay, well, that's on them.
I mean,
I'm just saying, they put the hoops out.
We do have to work.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is just have somebody pick up our little thing.
A parking pass.
Yeah. A parking pass.
We have to
go to the stadium. To a different location.
You have to go across a body of water.
Yes, and then go back. Mm-hmm. Listen, I know this sounds pretentious, because we are.
We're going to be sitting on the little white leather sofas.
Yeah, yes.
In the air-conditioned tent in near luxury.
Don't worry about us. We'll live. We'll make it. We got phone chargers.
We got phone
chargers. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Yeah.
D's backstage showing people pictures of what he's been grilling.
Yeah.
He will be.
Hey, man.
I know.
You like to smoke? Oh, yeah, man. No. You like to smoke meat. Never tried that, man.
Smoking meat? What do you mean?
Take the sunglasses off, bro. Take a look. All right.
He's got two sunglasses on, and those two. Anyway,
he flips up the first pair, and then you push the other one.
What's
back.
The deal? I'm gonna kind of ask you a question because, you know, since now I'm single, I'm on these dumb dating apps and all that kind of stuff. What is Always Sunny in Philadelphia about? Because that's like...
It's about the greatest show on the planet.
I've never watched it. It's Danny DeVito.
Yes,
and
it
I know,
is.
The only time I've ever seen it is like at 11 o'clock, and I'll turn the TV on, and it's on, but I don't have cable anymore.
Also, fun fact, the new season started last night.
Okay, well, I don't have cable anymore, so
okay, but it's on Hulu
know.
The next day. It dropped at 2 a.m. this morning, and I was not awake, but guess
are
what I'm doing
old,
today?
Are all the old episodes there?
Except five of them that were taken off for sensibilities. Because there is racism and there's, there's a couple things like that. But you ever Seinfeld was about like four people who were just didn't care about anything or anyone else but themselves. They were just selfish. Basically, Seinfeld walked so Sonny can run. It is four of the worst people. And then they add in Danny DeVito. So it's five of the worst people you could imagine who are hysterical, there is no political correctness. And it is my go-to. It's my comfort show. I watch Sunny every day. It is always on in my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and it's Always Sunny in Carson's house.
Okay, so, because yeah, the reason I brought it up is it has popped up on everybody's.
Boy, you are dating some good girls.
Well, I'm not dating anybody.
Okay, well, if she likes It's Always Sunny, go out with her.
But because yeah, there's several of them saying Always Sunny in Philadelphia is the best show ever. Changed my mind or something like that, or dumb things like that. Or if you watch it, then swipe this way. And
I feel like those are girls you would get along with, women that you'd get along with, because they're not easily, when I say not easily offended, it's not like you're out here to offend people. But you're
going to say something from time to
time. You don't have to be guarded with your words that I don't know what trend she's on this week or whatever. And this is just straight. I'm not saying people can't find it offensive, but it's just funny.
I was going to say, so what you're saying is if they watch it, if they're a fan of that show, then that means they can take a joke.
Yes.
And they understand the difference between humor and hate. That is actually a very big plus.
Like me. Because again, it's because, I know people who are like, oh my gosh, like, I love Friends so much. And I'm like, yeah, no. Which is an adorable show, but it's too nice.
You want to hear something terrible? I've never watched more than 3 episodes of Friends.
It was a good show, and I get why people still love it, but it's just...
I'm totally unrelatable. I'm just, I was in the middle of being dad during all that time. Mm. So I didn't watch, I wasn't watching sitcoms and whatnot. So
actually,
I'm totally
Friends
out of
started
it.
In like 94.
Yeah.
You were out partying.
That's
the thing. You weren't home. That's why you weren't home on Thursday nights.
No.
That's what I'm saying. You weren't
Big
home.
Big D would know. I mean, when he and I first started doing the show, I would come straight in from the club.
You also might have been in Guam or something.
I was in Guam till 92.
Oh, okay. So you were back before then.
But we still had television there just for,
I didn't know if, but okay, but that was also still, not everybody even had cable back then. Like, I remember being in a dorm room, and I happened to have cable, but not everybody. They were using antenna. So not everybody picked up NBC at the time. That's the thing, that it's in that weird, it doesn't seem that long ago, but you still had people in transition of television.
Wow.
Yeah. So, no, Always Sunny is great, and people that watch it will, you will at least know it's
also,
it's already a hurdle you're
can
over.
Can you please help me with the fish thing? Why no fish picks? Why is that a thing? It's everywhere. Well, one of the I screen capped it because I sent it to my buddy. I'm like, dude, what is wrong with this? It's like, do not pose with your fish or dead animal, blah blah blah. And like, they go through this list of rules that you have to comply to.
Don't think she's your match.
Your goatee, smoking, gym photo, and whatever it is that you caught or killed in your photo. Swipe left, and then under my interest, open minded. I'm like, yeah, that's a fail.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's good.
Yeah, the thing is, the fish pick, you and I talked about it on the air the other day, but it is part of the reason it's so ubiquitous is it's really the only time I think a lot of guys take a solo picture.
But
you guys aren't
dudes. Why is it bad?
It's because you're holding up a fish, so now I can't see most of you. Chances are you're wearing a hat and sunglasses because you're out on the water. So I still don't have a good idea of what you look like. And again, the fish is blocking everything. So it's not a great shot, even though you are by yourself.
Do you know how many people wear sunglasses in their photos? I would probably say 80% of the photos people have sunglasses on. So why is it bad if...
Here's the problem. Everybody looks cooler in sunglasses.
That is
right?
True.
We all look cooler. But
and younger.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing, because, you get the little eye wrinkles and whatever, and bags and whatever, and people
crow's
look
feet.
Younger. Yeah, so they don't, they wear their sunglasses. So a lot, ladies are just as bad at it as guys, apparently. I didn't know guys were putting sunglasses
pictures.
Chicks
with the filters, yo.
Oh, the filters are crazy.
Like, when you've shown me some of them, I go, like, you have to meet in real life at some point, and he's never going to recognize you because you don't have dog ears and a tongue.
I walked in the very first...
It's all Snapchat filters.
The very first date as single Bubba that I went on, this girl was like, oh, you've never gone on a date before? You have to come meet me for a drink and whatever. And I'm like, she's hot. All right.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right, cool. I'm going to tell this, and I'm going to be a very bad person. I was like, okay. So I looked, and she sends me a picture. She goes, this is me today. I'm like, oh, well, nice. Okay, cool. She had a nice little sundress on and whatever. I'm like, wow, I hit the jackpot. First one. I show up. I walk in, and I'm looking. And I'm still looking. And then her mom goes, hey, I'm over here. Yeah, she used so much filters that she looked almost 30 years younger in the photos.
No.
And I was like, oh, wow, okay. It must be her mom. I really thought it was her mom because she was also wearing a different dress than the one she sent from me today, you know, an hour before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's crazy.
This is where I think I'm bad on the apps because I'm so afraid of being disappointing in person.
You put the worst pics out there.
It's not even the worst, but I do full body pictures. So, you know, like I am not a beanpole, right? I don't filter my face. Yes, I wear makeup, but I wear makeup all the time. So this is what you're seeing. But I am so afraid that someone's going to show up and be like, oh, she looked cuter in pictures and then just have to suffer through 2 hours with me. And yet I think I'm pretty honest with who I am in those photos. And yet they're still in me. I'm afraid of that. And yet apparently everybody else on the planet is not at all worried.
There is no honesty at all in online dating. Mm-mm. It's crazy, Dee. You have no idea. Count your blessings. Just saying. It is. I remember listening to Patrick complain about it all the time. Remember the girl that photoshopped herself 80 pounds lighter?
Yeah.
I mean, and he went out of his way. He went several states away to go and meet.
To find out she's a wizard, Harry.
But can you do, like...
Can you what? Like, can you meet people out in... Okay, so Carson will know exactly what I'm talking about in this one. When you see somebody out in the wild, like Big D, do you wear a wedding ring?
No, I don't.
So you would be somebody that somebody might approach. Mm-hmm. And then you go,
I get it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So, you don't know in the wild if anybody is even in that realm. So if you go on to like one of the apps, you know everybody there is there because they're trying to meet somebody. Mm-hmm. So it makes it really easy. It's a great tool, but there's a lot of abuse on there. There's a lot of crazy stuff. There's a lot of fake stuff. Yeah. Oh my gosh, the fakes.
A lot of people trying to, I mean... I don't think this, I've never seen this, but I know it happens to guys. You'll get a lot of women or even bots that start talking to you and they try to direct you to like an OnlyFans.
But really?
WhatsApp?
Yeah.
What's your cell phone number? Yep. Let's talk on WhatsApp.
Yeah. They try to take you off the app so that way you end up in a site where they can try to hit you up for money or here's my Amazon wish list or something like that.
Well, that was
like
on that show you watched, the Swindler thing.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I still never saw that.
Tinder Swindler.
That's I saw that.
Yeah.
Is it kind of the same thing? Is that what he was doing? Or
no, he was a straight up. Did you watch like Reinventing Anna or whatever it was? Okay, he's a con artist. He basically is saying like, I'm going to take you to Monaco tonight and get on my plane. And he does. And you get on a plane with him and it's private and whatever. And so he gets you thinking that this is the lifestyle. And he kind of love bombs with, wow, I can't believe I met you. I know it's only been a week. But and then a week or so into that, it's the... Oh my gosh, I don't know what's wrong with my credit card. Can you charge $5,000 here and I'll wire you the money right back? And because you've already been on a private plane with him, you think
he has
the money. But in fact, he was using the last girl's credit card to pay for your date on the private plane. It's a whole thing. It's crazy. It is a true confidence game.
Yeah. I heard that he was out and doing it again.
Yeah, I think they finally managed to get him when he went over a border somewhere.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, the problem is you kind of did willingly give him your credit card. He didn't steal the card. He didn't hack into your email or anything.
Or you paid for the whatever it was.
Yeah, this wasn't a matter of like, hey, I was dating this guy and he went into my computer and he hacked it or he logged into my bank.
So he was having people basically pay for these extravagant things ahead of time.
Yes.
And then he would dump them and like ghost them and that was it?
He would keep them around as long as he could.
I need to watch it just because you need to know what the signs are that somebody else is out there.
That's the thing. If somebody, let's say you start dating a girl and she's like, oh, I'm going to take you to this and that and whatever. And she shows you the VIP experience, the good time, blah, blah, blah. And then again, a couple weeks into it, like, oh my gosh, like, wait, what do you mean? I just paid for, you went to some fancy restaurant and her card's not working. Like, I need to call my account. But in the meantime, can you cover it? That's where the slippery slope happens. Because you're thinking, she did all this for the last 2 weeks.
That's where you go, no, I can't because I've seen the Tinder swindler.
Yes. Call her out. Mm-hmm. Call her out. Tell her you'll pay for yours.
And then, like, that's the end of the... she might be telling the truth and you just ruined the best thing ever. Carson's like, no.
If it's too good to be true...
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Well, Dee, that was fun. We got to...
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, bye.
Okay.
We're going to talk a little aliens with Nick Pope. He was with the British... Well, you know what? I'm just going to hit the closing jingle because Big D, for those of you who are listening on a podcast app and not on YouTube, is going to tell you exactly who and what Nick Pope is and why we're talking with him.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio.
Thank you, bye.
Every day.
Okay, bye. Yeah.
It was the podcast.
Nick Pope. Hello, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, we got a lot of stuff going on. First off, for those who don't know who you are, give us a rundown of your credentials when it comes to UFOs, UAPs, and all that.
Well, I worked for the British government for 21 years at the Ministry of Defense, and for much of the early 90s, I ran the UK's UFO program. So I got into this not as a hobby or through a sighting or anything, but as a government job.
Yeah, a little bit different. When you talk people, it means a little bit more. And so now we have a guy who comes out as a military whistleblower claiming some pretty incredible stuff. What all is he claiming?
Well, previously, the position of the U.S. government on UFOs was that, yes, I mean, they're real, but we don't know what they are. The U.S. Navy has released some videos. NASA is doing a study. Congress is engaged on this. So people are taking it seriously. But you know, it's a sort of, we don't know what we're dealing with. This takes it to the next level. This is a credentialed member of the intelligence community basically saying, we do know, or some people within government know what this is, and it is extraterrestrial, and we have recovered craft, bodies, and it's beyond dispute. And Congress is currently trying to verify those claims.
So he filed the whistleblower complaint with Congress, saying that from what I understood, because I watched his little quick press conference, they said that his group with the United States military, the task force, was called Arrow. And he said that they were not privy to the information about the recovered alien spacecrafts, non-human origin spacecrafts. And basically, that was the idea behind his whistleblower thing is, hey, you know, we're here trying to do the research and they're withholding this information. Can we get this released so we can move forward?
Yes, that's it. And there's also, in parallel, a complaint in with the intelligence community inspector general. So this is all very high-level stuff. And the intelligence committees in both the Senate and the House are looking at this right now. But this isn't, I should stress, it's not a single source story. When this was released yesterday, when it was published in the debrief, it named some other people who had corroborated his story. So there is at least one other individual still serving in the intelligence community, and other people, both serving and retired, who are off the record, saying, yes, this is all correct. And it's so highly classified and deeply compartmentalized that, as you say, even the Pentagon's Arrow organization that's leading on UFOs doesn't apparently have access to this. Can't get in.
Compartmentalization is it's a big thing. We have to have it. However, yeah. Whenever we're talking about the people who are, you know, doing the investigations, especially if there's an ongoing competition between all of the countries of Earth to recover and retrieve materials from other beings and reverse engineer those things, it's kind of an important deal for these people to know.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Nick Pope is joining us. He ran the British government's UFO project, and he is joining us on the hotline. We're talking about this story that broke this week about a military whistleblower who has the highest clearance in our government, in the U.S. government, saying that, yeah, We have craft from another world. We have bodies from another world. But, Nick, my question is, why don't people care? It seems like this is the biggest news. Like, it's is there a God? Who shot JFK? And are UFOs real? And when the story came out, it's kind of like people went, meh. What is – why?
Yeah, I think almost it's one of those things that is such a game changer, such a paradigm shift that people almost can't process it. So they get told it, but they almost at one level, they're like, well, it's not quite officially confirmed yet. Yeah, we've got U.S. Navy videos. Yeah, we've got intelligence community people. We've got multiple UFO provisions in the current defense bill. You know, everyone says it's a defense and national security issue, but people just can't process it. It's too big.
My thing is, it can't really be that big of an issue as far as defense of Earth, because, I mean, if they're able and capable to travel, you know, interstellar distances and, you know, show up on our front doorstep, they would have no problem dealing with us because we're still basically throwing rocks. So I don't see that being an issue. If they were a threat, then we would probably have known by now. So I'm thinking,
sure you're right. Any civilization with the technology to travel here has tech orders of magnitude above anything we have. So yeah, we couldn't defend against that. So we have to hope that they are benign or neutral, maybe. But that poses the question, if that's the case, why is this being kept secret? Is it because we are worried that an adversary might be able to get hold of that technology and weaponize it? Maybe, but then you could still say, look, we're not alone, without releasing the technical details. So maybe it's something else. Maybe there's some great unspoken truth in all of this, which is too terrible to be told.
Or maybe it's kind of like the Prime Directive from Star Trek, where they're not supposed to interfere and accidents happen, and that's whenever we recover these craft. Who knows?
Who knows? Hey, real quick, Nick, talk to us a little bit about the Ancient Aliens live tour. This is still rolling across the country, right?
Absolutely, yes. We've done 21 cities. We've announced another 14 dates. It's a 90-minute live show. And people absolutely love it. So come and see us.
You can check out the website, ancientalienslivetour.com, ancientalienslivetour.com. Nick Pope, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. Tell your beautiful wife that we said hello. We know that she's a big, we hear she's a big country music fan. So we appreciate her, and we appreciate you, and we would love to have you on any time. And when this stuff breaks open and aliens are on the White House steps, we're calling you first.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Nick.